Shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Thank you. Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Evangel Bathurst Online. So happy to be here. We're still trying to get connected here. We had some technical difficulties, but hey, God is in control. We do what we can, and then we trust the Lord. So glad to be here. Today is the start of the Advent season. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful time of year to be with people and celebrate together what God has prophesied for many years, the coming of Christ, the birth of the Lord, which is wonderful, which brought us salvation to all the world, so Gentiles and Jews all together, which is wonderful. God wants us to celebrate. It's biblical to celebrate the good things that God has done for us. Amen. And also, as we celebrate big events like this, it's also good to remember what God has done for us in our personal lives, to recall those moments, healings, victories. Those are all things that God has done for us, and I think it's good to share them as we get together during the season with other people. Over the year, over this past coming year, what has God done for you? And it's good to bring them up to build each other's faith. So having said that, let's stand up and we're going to worship the Lord because he is so worthy. We're going to worship him. And because it's the first day of the Advent season, guess what? Christmas songs. So we're going to start with a medley, and then let me just set up here. All right. Get my volume up. There we go. Test 1, 2. Great.
us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Who you are, Lord God, and fill us with your spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Oh, Save her.
more time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. Do you really believe that this morning? Hallelujah. He's on the throne. Hallelujah. He will conquer every giant that faces you today. Hallelujah. As Goliath went down,
yes,
the enemy, our souls going down. Hallelujah.
Oh,
whether sickness,
Lord,
or burdens, whatever it might be. Jesus is the King. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this morning, church? Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. He is here to conquer for you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get into the details, but I was under attack this week. Hallelujah. But thank God, in all circumstances, give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because something good is about to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It may bring the breakthrough I've been waiting for. Hallelujah. My workplace. But God is in control. Hallelujah. No matter what we face, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you're in the house. Lord, you are as real here today as you were when you walked physically on this earth. Hallelujah, Lord. And Father, I thank you for the faith that you have placed in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our lives. And Lord, whatever it is, Lord, whatever giants we face, whether it be sickness or financial needs, whatever it might be, Lord. Lord, we ask you now in the name of Jesus that you would slay that giant now for us. We pray for healing.
Yes,
we pray for deliverance. We pray for financial needs to be met, oh God. We pray, Lord, that worry would be gone. We pray that peace would reign in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Can we give him thanks? Give him praise today. He's on the throne, church. He's on the throne, church. He's on the throne, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Can we sing that again? Hallelujah. Our God reigns.
Hallelujah.
I just want to say one more thing this morning. God is going to be doing great things in your life. Great things, folks. Great things. Things you've never seen before. God is going to do it. Hallelujah. Because He's God and He's sovereign. Hallelujah. He wants to do good things for us. Amen. He wants to do good things for us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I could take off on that one. We're going to ask you to greet one another. Let's welcome one another to the house of the Lord. Amen. And church, I just want to say something. Pastor, we appreciate you. We love you. And you are the man that God has placed here for this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the angels of the Lord are about you, protecting you, holding you firm. Hallelujah. Any weapon formed against you will not prosper. Yes. Hallelujah. Because you are a man of prayer and God is on the throne. Hallelujah.
Good morning, church. Nice to see you all your beautiful smiling faces. Hi, my name is Karen, for those who don't know me, and I'll be sharing a few important announcements today. If you are our first or second time guest, we're glad to have you here, of course. We love to have a record of your visit and be able to help you with the next steps in your journey of connecting with Jesus and with Evangel. So we have Connect cards available, which you will find in the pew in front of you, or on our website at evangelbathurst.ca. You can fill these out and tell us a little about yourself. And for our newcomers, if you fill one out and bring it to the Welcome Center after the service, you can hand it in and receive a free gift. Who doesn't love a free gift? Also, for anyone who has questions, we'd be happy to answer those for you. If you have any prayer requests, you can put them as well on the back of those cards. Upcoming Christmas events. Christmas banquet. We are looking forward to our annual Christmas banquet on Sunday, December 14th, following the morning service. The church will be providing the turkey and potatoes, but we are still in need of plenty of veggie dishes and desserts, etc. The sign-up sheet is in the lobby, so stop by on your way out today and sign up if you are able to do so. Christmas caroling. We are planning an afternoon of Christmas caroling this coming Saturday, December 6th. If you're interested in participating, you could see either myself or Jim, and we'd love to have you come in. It's actually our Connect group that was doing it, and someone in the Connect group said, why don't we reach out to everyone and see if others will join us? So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you come. Christmas parade this Saturday, December 6th, is also the community Christmas parade, and we are still in need of volunteers to help prepare the float and that sort of thing, hand out things while we're walking in the parade and stuff. If you'd like to be involved with a parade, you can see Pastor Ocean, and she will get you plugged in somewhere to help out with that. Also, there's a Christmas concert. Next Sunday evening is our Christmas concert at 6 p.m. The final practice and luncheon will be that afternoon from 12:30 to 3. So those involved, stick around after church to practice for that. Worship night. Tonight is our worship night. We'd like to remind you all that it's at 6 p.m. And we hope to see everyone back here this evening to worship and spend time in the presence of God. TFES, Terry Fox Elementary School, don't forget that we have, if you can donate something, we have a spot in the lobby there that you can drop those items off to bless the children and the teachers at Terry Fox School. And it says here, if you want to give a money donation, you can do that and someone will shop for you, so it makes it a bit easier for you. Giving. The ushers are going to begin to receive your tithes and offerings right now as they pass the offering plates. If you are a first-time guest, there is no obligation for you to give. For the rest of you, if you didn't come prepared, you can also give digitally. You can e-transfer as well to giving@evangelbathurst.ca. And you can also go to our website, evangelbathurst.ca, for more giving options. I guess that's the same thing. And now Denis is going to come up. He has a special announcement.
Thank you, Karen. For those who don't know me, I'm Denis. You've probably seen me here a few times. Well, we have a special box this morning. And it's called Pastor's Christmas Blessings. So we would like to show our appreciation for our two pastors. So we have Pastor and his family and her family. And Pastor Ocean must be gone downstairs. To do a special offering over the next three Sundays. So we'll have the box in the back table out there. So if you would like to participate, it's a separate collection box. And for anyone who would like to give to be a blessing for them and their families, just put the money in here. We're trying not to make it go through the books. So if you can just bring cash, that would be greatly appreciated. And once again, we want to appreciate so much our pastors and all the work that they do and their families, all their sacrifices. This is a special time of year. We have a little extra cost, so we just want to be a blessing for them. So thank you very much. Once again, I'll have this box in the back for the next three Sundays. God bless you.
Well, we're going to pray over the offering, and then we're going to have a special Advent moment after that. So, Father, we worship you. We thank you for the privilege of investing in your kingdom work here in Bathurst, God, in all that you're doing. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And God, we give not out of compulsion, not out of arm twisting. We give with cheerful, grateful hearts. Because, Lord, it's our act of worship to you. So we love you. We pray your blessing on our tithes, on our offerings, as we give to you, as we honor you with a portion of what you've poured out in our lives. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. As Natalie mentioned earlier, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and I will be reading you a scripture found in Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 3 and 6 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow, a death of light has dawned, and have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
This morning we light our first candle. The light of the flame symbolizes the illumination of Jesus Christ in our lives. The disciple John tells us Jesus Christ is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This Christmas season, let the light of Jesus Christ shine out of darkness. Let his light shine in our hearts so that we may have the knowledge of the glory of God. Please bow with me in prayer. Gracious Lord, may your mighty blessings be upon all of us this Christmas season. May your light shine upon our lives, removing the darkness about us. May the joyful good news of Jesus and his coming change our lives and give us hope for when he comes again in power. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. A big thank you to our decor team, for getting the building ready for Christmas season. And how many noticed we've got a lot of things going on this Christmas? We encourage you to lean in and be a part of what we're doing together as a family, church family. Good, good. Guys doing all right? Good, thank you. Doing well. We are, today is, as we've said a couple times already, the first Sunday of Advent. Also means it's the dawning of the festive tie season. So, tis that season. And we are starting a new series, an Advent series called Come and Behold Him. Come and Behold Him. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking in the scriptures at people who came to behold the coming of the Savior. But this morning, we want to kind of lay a some groundwork for this series. And I want you to come and behold who this amazing Savior is that came. We want to focus on Jesus this Advent season, to gaze upon Him, to be captivated again by the mystery and the miracle of our Savior who came. And look at why He's coming again. Amen? Amen. So today's part one message is Word of the Father. The come and behold Him is a phrase that comes from one of our Christmas hymns, one of our Christmas carols. Oh, come all ye faithful. There we go. Oh, come all ye faithful. And this is another line from that same song. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. So John 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld. Come and behold Him. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is this Word that John is talking about? Who is this Word? That word in John's gospel is the word Logos. He's talking about the Logos. And without going too deep into ancient Greek philosophy, how many would rather I not go too deep into ancient Greek philosophy today? There was this idea in Greek philosophy of the Logos, that God, through this power called the Logos, it literally in the Greek means the Word. Through the power of this Logos, created everything that is. And so John is taking from that Greek philosophy, and he's saying, this is the Logos that was about. That Jesus is the Logos, is the Word of God, is the creative power of God from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the universe. He is the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so he starts his gospel with these words. In the beginning was the Logos, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is the Word of God that brought everything into being. And the Word became flesh. And this same John who wrote this gospel about Jesus, the Word became flesh, about Jesus and His life and ministry, he wrote some other books in the New Testament. And one of them that we're going to look at a little bit today, the epistle of 1 John, was kind of an open letter, a letter to the world, if you will, unpacking the meaning behind the gospel, behind Jesus coming. He wrote this letter of 1 John, and a few times he uses a word that in English is, in the NIV at least, is translated as appeared. And so John says that Jesus appeared, first of all, to reveal the Father. Let's look at some verses from 1 John chapter 1, first four verses. He says, And this is very similar to the language he uses in his gospel talking about the Word. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at or beheld, and our hands have touched. He's talking about Jesus. We heard Jesus speak and teach. We saw him with our eyes. We beheld his glory. Our hands touched him. This we proclaim concerning the Word, the Logos of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The Logos of life, John says. Eternal life. What does eternal life look like? It doesn't just look like living for a long time. Right? That's not what the Bible is talking about when it says eternal life. But when the Bible uses, and John mostly uses this phrase, eternal life. And when he uses this phrase, he's talking about life from the age to come, life from God, breaking into our world, our realm, our existence, breaking into our existence and putting a claim on us for eternity. But what does that God life actually look like? Well, John says it appeared to us. The God life from the age to come appeared to us. The life of God that was before creation and is waiting for us in eternity appeared to us. The life of God in Christ, the life of God in Christ didn't just come into existence when a baby was born in Bethlehem. Right? That which was veiled to us to that point in history was unveiled when Jesus was born. Right? John says, we have heard him. We've seen him, we've beheld him, and our hands have touched him. What was mysterious, what was unknown, what was invisible to our eyes has become tangible and real and seeable. God himself, motivated by love, stepped out of time, out of eternity into time. Stepped out of glory into our garbage, right? John was an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness of that. He spent time with the Logos of life. He had lunch with him on a regular basis, right? He spent time with the Logos of life. I'm not sure he understood it when it was happening. But there was no question as you read his gospel, as you read his epistle, and certainly as you read the book of Revelation, where we spent a lot of time this year, that John knew he had been with God in the flesh. And because he had seen the life of God in the person of Christ, he now knew what living the God life looked like in a human. Jesus had given them the template of living for God. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Right? And in the same conversation, a couple of sentences later, Jesus said that we would be able to walk the same path of godlikeness just like we had seen him do. He said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Folks, you and I can live the God life like Jesus when we have Jesus on the inside of us. What was John's point in telling us that they had seen the word of life appear? He said he was proclaiming it to them, proclaiming it to you, so that you can have fellowship with us. John and whoever he was hanging out with, he was writing this letter saying, if you trust in Christ too, if you believe in what he's done for you, you can have fellowship with us. You can be part of the same family that we are. And our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ, his Son. This is the result of the Word becoming flesh. God became one of us to bring us into deep fellowship with God. We have God as our Father, as our friend, as our everything, because Jesus came for us. Amen? Tell me that is not good news of great joy for all the people, right? John says, we write this to make our joy complete. We were made for fellowship with God. Fellowship was broken by sin, but Jesus came to restore fellowship, and you can walk with God, and that is good news. So he appeared to show us the Father. He appeared to destroy the devil's works. A little later in John's letter, John 1:3, verse 8 says exactly this. He says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Satan is called the tempter, the accuser. He's called liar, murderer, enemy, snake, dragon. He's called all kinds of things in the Bible, right? And Satan is not just, as some people suggest, he's not just a symbol, a concept of evil or a symbol of evil, but there is actually a being who is opposed to God and has around him a whole army of beings opposed to God, and that is behind all of the evil that we see in the world. Now, don't get me wrong. Humans can do enough evil on our own too, can't we? Right? This isn't a the devil made me do it thing. It's not to put all the blame on him. But the level of hatred and corruption that exists in the world is because humans have been poisoned in their minds and hearts by one who will not be satisfied until he pushes every last bit of godliness out of the world. That is his goal. He is behind racism and fear, lust, greed, addiction, and everything else that destroys human life. As we talked about last week, he hates you, and he has a plan for your destruction. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Amen? When Jesus came, he came to put an end to the reign of tyranny that Satan had inflicted on humanity for far too long. For thousands of years, there was evil in the world that, with what seemed like little hope of changing until Jesus showed up on the scene. When Jesus arrived, he came talking about how he was here to undo the darkness. In Luke 4:18, Jesus is giving one of his first talks in a synagogue. And he opens the scroll to Isaiah. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That means the year of Jubilee, when all slaves were set free and all debts were canceled. Notice how Jesus is saying his ministry will undo poverty, captivity, blindness, oppression, slavery, debt, and more. There is a reason that Jesus didn't just go around teaching the ways of God, but he demonstrated the power of God to change lives. Leprosy was a horrific death sentence on people in the first century. Jesus healed many people with leprosy and changed their lives. Jesus healed blindness. He healed paraplegics. He healed deafness. He freed many people from being demonized, freed people from their hatred and greed and fear and perversion. And folks, Jesus is still at work destroying the works of the enemy. He is still setting people free from the control of darkness. Before you shovel this over your shoulder to someone else, saying, I'm not under any control of Satan. That's got nothing to do with me. Answer me this. Are you walking free in every area of your life today? Are you sure you have no spiritual blindness? Are you positive there's no area where the enemy is harassing or oppressing you? Are you today living an abundant life in Christ? If not, there may be ways that Jesus wants to destroy the devil's work in your life today, and that's why he came. He appeared, thirdly, to bring salvation. I'm going to jump over to the book of Hebrews for a moment. And this passage has the same word, this appear word, three times in talking about Jesus and his life among us. I think it's here. Yes, it is. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Anybody say hallelujah? He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So Jesus appeared before God the Father, offering himself as a sacrifice for us. And this says he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages. That's how the writer of Hebrews refers to the incarnation of Jesus. The culmination of the ages. The moment that all of history was waiting for. Jesus born into this world. God becoming flesh, becoming one of us. Born into this world, living among us to show the ways of the Father, and dying in our place on a Roman cross, and rising from the dead, the culmination of the ages. Everything in history hinges on what Jesus did for us when he came into this world. Amen? The God-man who shed his blood for my forgiveness and freedom. It was accomplished once for all. We will spend the rest of our lives unpacking and applying what Jesus did for us. But he did it all at once. Jesus appeared to give himself for us. And then the writer of Hebrews says that he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Anybody here waiting for Jesus? Amen. Waiting for him to come, bring glory, bring heaven, bring the resolution of everything that's broken and messed up in our world. Waiting for Jesus appearing. And so that leads us to our last point this morning, that he will appear for his children. He will appear for his children. John 1, 2, verse 28. John 1, verse 2, verse 28 says this. And now, dear children, continue in him so that, can you say so that? So that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before his coming. None of us wants to stand ashamed before Jesus. I'm sure of that. None of us wants to wonder, well, whether we will be welcomed gladly into his presence. Surely we all want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But none of that is possible if we live this life on cruise control. We talked about this at length last week. We must be awake and alert and purposeful in living our lives for Christ. John says we must continue in him. Must stay engaged, stay alert, stay living for Jesus. Praying a sinner's prayer so that we have fire insurance from hell, and then living like hell the rest of our lives doesn't put us in a place of confidence before Jesus, right? John says, continue in him. Lean into your relationship with God in Christ. Continue in Him. So that we can be unashamed in His presence and confident when He appears. And then a couple verses later, 1 John 3, verses 3-1 and 2 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished." I love that word. What amazing love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. John is just reveling. He's in awe that he would be able to be called a child of God. I think sometimes, folks, when we've been on this journey for a few years or a few decades, we lose sight of the awe of that. It is an amazing thing that we might be called the children of God. Wow. And then he says, "For that is what we are." It's not just a title God gives you when you come to Him, but He actually does something to change who you are, to make you a child of God. You were a child of darkness, and now you are, if you've come to Christ, if you've given your life to Him, now you are a child of God. He says, "The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, there's that word again. When Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Our great hope is that when Christ appears a second time, the fullness of what God had planned for us will be finished, will be accomplished in our lives. While we're still in process, that's all of us, we're still in process. While we're still in process in this life, we face temptation. We're often weak-willed. We have doubts. We deal with sickness and infirmity in our bodies. We suffer loss. We're subject to our fickle emotions that are up here one day and down the next. But when we see Him, folks, when we see Him, we will be like Him. For we shall behold Him as He is. One glimpse of Jesus is so powerful that it will transform you with resurrection power into the glorious being you were meant to be. Even now, even as we journey, even as we are in process, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Folks, as we learn to spend time in the presence of Jesus. And there is nothing you can do with your time in a day that is more precious and more important and more valuable than learning to spend time in the presence of Jesus. God, forgive us when we treat our devotion time as a checkbox that we just, you know, I did my time, I did my 10 minutes, I did my half hour, whatever it is, and just move on with the rest of our day and not give thought to who He is. So we don't get brownie points for devotions. But our devotions are a vehicle to cause us to stop and to gaze upon Him, to behold Him. It is in His presence that we are changed. And as we journey through this life, stumbling and fumbling through the stuff of this life, and we learn to gaze on Him, we are changed, the Scripture says, from one degree of glory to another. A little bit more like Him every day. A little bit more of us gets transformed by His heart, His love, His mercy every day. But aren't you glad that the day when you see Jesus face to face, every unfinished thing in your heart and life in a moment will be transformed. And you will become like Him. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness to continue working in our lives. And thank you for what is coming when Jesus appears. Let's learn to behold Him now so that we're ready to behold Him then. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask you this morning, on this first Sunday of Advent, are you ready to come and behold Him? Are you ready to make Him the center of attention in your life? I think that's what that phrase is getting at. Come and behold Him. That we might make Jesus the center of attention in our lives. Because it is so easy in this life and in this world and in the busyness and craziness with all the good intentions that we have to let other things become the center of attention in our hearts, right? We would come to Him today and say, Jesus, I want to behold You. I want to make You again the center of attention in my heart and in my life. Because that is the way that we will be changed. I'm just going to ask you to can we bow our heads for a moment? Just in stillness. We've got some time. I preached faster than I thought I would, so we got a moment. Let's take a moment. Let me ask you today, do you know Jesus in the way that we've been talking about today? If you're here this morning, maybe you've got a lot of questions. Maybe you're new to the Jesus thing. If you have never made a commitment to Jesus, never said yes to Him once and for all, He came and gave His life once and for all for us. And He asks us to make a once for all commitment to say, Jesus, I want to follow You. I want to live for You. If you've never made that commitment and you're here this morning and something inside you is saying, I need to take that step. I need to become a follower of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. I'd love to pray for you and with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just want you to say, Pastor, I'd love for you to pray for me today that I would take that step of faith. Just slip up a hand. Let me see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? All right. So, Father, You've seen these hands and You know these hearts. I thank You for Your love for them. I thank You for what You're doing on the inside of them, speaking to them, encouraging them, wooing them to Yourself. God, I pray that today they would take a step closer to You, to say, Jesus, I want to follow You. So if you put your hand up just quietly in your heart, why don't you say a prayer like this along with me? Jesus, I need a Savior. I need You to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean and make me new. And set my feet on a path of living for You. Put Your Holy Spirit in me and enable me, empower me, help me to live the life that Jesus calls me to live. Thank You for all that You have done for me. I love You. You are my King, and I will serve You for the rest of my days. If you prayed that prayer today, please talk to us after the service. We'd love to help you take next steps in your journey. But for the rest of us, if you know today that the Spirit of God is speaking to you and inviting you to, in a fresh way today, make Jesus the center of your attention, to learn how to behold Him, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. Just say, Pastor, pray for me too. I would learn how to make Jesus the center of my attention in a fresh way. God, I pray that You would move in our hearts, in our lives. I thank You for Your love and Your faithfulness. I thank You that You came to show us the Father. I thank You that You came to destroy the devil's works in our lives. I thank You that You came to bring salvation, and I thank You that You are coming again to transform us to be like you. I pray for every person in this room, God, that you would stir up in our hearts a fresh hunger and desire to make you the center of our attention. We love you. We honor you. We thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, congregation, for coming today. As I've said before, without you, it wouldn't be a service. We now open the altar for anyone who would like to come. If you have time, maybe it'd be a good idea just to linger a little bit longer in the presence of the Lord, to draw nearer to him. If you have a special need in your life you would like prayer for, we would welcome you to come. There are those who would love to pray for you. God bless you. You have yourself.